going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Tuesday, May 19th, 2026. Chat, hope you all are doing great. I think we're all doing pretty well. Obviously, I was amongst all of you last night in unison who were very concerned about the Yankees winning. In the morning, I'm very professional, Chat. Nighttime's a different story, and we will be back live tonight for the watch party. Apologies for having to bail on yesterday's stream. Rare in-season little illness day for me. But we're all good and ready to go. We have a bunch to talk about today. I promise I won't touch too much on the weather, but chat, get your AC units on. It's going to be a toasty one outside. It's already, I feel like, touching on 90 degrees outside. I go to get my morning cup of coffee and I'm sweating. Anyways, here we are, home, back home to talk some Yankee baseball. And of course, last night's win, Yankees, 7-6. Got a little nervous down the road, but thank goodness. We'll see a little bit of what happened last night. Game-tying home run, Cody Bellinger. Go-ahead home run off the pole, Jazz Chisholm Jr. And then David Bednar, credit where it's due. He did bear down in the end and secure the victory.
High fly ball, deep right center. Barshow back, track, wall, see ya! A two-run home run, and the Yankees have tied the game at 5. Sky down the left field line. That ball is off the pole. Off the pole. A two-run home run for Jazz Chisholm. And the Yankees lead 7-5. Right to Jazz Chisholm. Gets the hop. Fires the first. And the Yankees hold on. And they win 7-6. And you all may exhale.
All right, so we're going to touch on David Bednar in just a little bit, but a few things to highlight from yesterday's game. First things first, Cody Bellinger, huge home run, obviously. Game-tying two-run shot in the seventh inning. Now, he has been so good at Yankee Stadium this year. Now, last year, he was, well, better at home, was still decent on the road. This year, it's quite a stark difference. He's been above a 1.0 OPS in the Bronx, whereas on the road, he's sub-600. So his success at Yankee Stadium continued last night, and that was a huge home run in positive spirits. I say this because I love Cody Bellinger. Last night was awesome. I want to see some of that production also happen on the road as well, in general with the Yankees, because on the road, we've been a much worse team. At home, we've actually been pretty good. And last night, of course, thank goodness, was able to add to that tally. Jazz Chisholm Jr., a big part of that. Two-run shot off the foul pole. Very reminiscent of Judge's go-ahead against Louis Varland last year off the pole. Jazz continues to wear the baggy pants, which is, you know, not typically something I would be discussing on here as a talking point, and I'm not, but allow me. The baggy pants makes him look like such a ball player, and I love it, and I'm glad he's going to stick with it. He thinks it's a superstition type thing, which, word up, that's, you know, tales all this time in baseball. And they're Giancarlo Stanton's pants. He's still using Jose Caballero's bat, and it's working. Listen, let me say again about Jazz real quick, then we'll get into the Yankee close situation. We'll talk Anthony Volpe. We got so much. Cole may start on Friday. We got a bunch to discuss, but you know, last week we discussed with Jazz, the Buster only, not even so much report, he just gave his opinion reacting to how the Yankees have been very, you know, not caring about feelings, going with the hot hand and doing what they can to win, which we've talked about a lot. It's more so because they have options to do that this year. Well, Buster only posed a question last week. We talked about it. What if he's, you know, Jazz still isn't hitting in a couple of months from now? The Yankees could possibly make a change at second base, whether externally or internally. And we talked about that. And, you know, I posted a clip on Instagram, and most of you guys were, you know, pretty cool about this. You understand how it goes. But in that very clip, I said, ideally, this just gets solved by Jazz starts to get going and he starts hitting. And, you know, since the Subway Series, he's been doing that. That's ultimately what we're looking for here. We're all rooting for the Yankees. And I will by no means stick to the side of a narrative where it's like, even if I were to say the Yankees could move on from Jazz, which I think no doubt about it, they'll do the offseason. We're talking about in season here. I'm not going to stay on one side just to, like, prove myself right, per se, which isn't even what I was saying last week. I was just reacting to a story. But nonetheless, I'm obviously rooting for Jazz. I want Jazz to do well, and last night, he was awesome. Another two hits. He's, 2-for-4 yesterday, go-ahead home run. That was his fifth of the year. For Bellinger, that was his sixth. He now leads the team in RBIs with 32. So, of course, shout-out to those two. Also, really quick, before we get into Bednar, I want to shout-out Paul Goldschmidt, man, because this is pretty incredible, the stats that he's putting up so far this year. So another leadoff home run yesterday. Another one on the first pitch that he sees. His fifth home run of the year, and later also tied the game, as you see here in the fourth inning with an RBI double. His OPS is at a 1.0. He's hitting 290. OBP of 395. 5 homers, 13 RBIs now. He has just been absolutely fantastic. And I see a lot of people, you know, anytime he does well, which, you know, I totally understand this. They're saying, keep Goldschmidt in the leadoff spot. Well, understand the reason when he hits leadoff is because we're facing a lefty, and yesterday we were facing Corbin. I think there is an alternative to leadoff other than Trent Grisham, which you guys know I'm a Trent Grisham supporter, but he does have to start getting going. Against righties, I don't think they'll ever really lead off Goldschmidt. We don't even know how often Goldschmidt will be in the lineup against righties, obviously. But for right now, until Stanton's back, you guys know how I feel he should be in there every single day. If you want an alternative to lead off, it should be Ben Rice. That's the way that I would go. But for now, whenever Goldschmidt's in there, you feel good about it. And again, not to keep harping on it, but you know, Spencer Jones had a good game the other day, no doubt about it, and he looked good at the plate. Until Stanton returns, Goldschmidt is doing so well, he should be in the lineup every single day. It's just the way that I feel. And I'd like to think he'll be in there tonight, even though we're going up against Dylan Cease. Will Warren versus Dylan Cease tonight, by the way, 7:05. We'll be live for that game. But anyways, Goldschmidt has been fantastic. Yeah, batting average up to 290 now. Shout out to him. Offensively, those are the main stars, outside of Volpe, who we'll talk about in just a little bit. But yeah, shout out Bellinger, shout out Jazz, shout out Goldschmidt. David Bednar. So let's hear from him. This was his reaction to nailing down the save last night. Now, you know, let's hear from him first, and then we'll discuss this.
David, when you're in a spot like that, do you have a mantra or something that you say in your mind to help you get through it?
Just find a way. I mean, there's a way out of every situation, and I think really just it comes down to executing one pitch at a time and really slowing it all down. And I think it comes with, you know, you got to get punched in the face and how you respond from that. And it's digging deep, getting a little gritty, and finding a way.
And in fairness, to credit where it's due, in the end, he did find a way. He ends up getting the save, gets the strikeout from down 3-0 in the count to George Springer, ends up getting him to strike out, and then Vlad grounds out to Jazz, ball game over. But obviously, you know, as the inning unravels, you get the initial leadoff walk. You have, you know, that little chopper base hit by Sanchez. All of a sudden, you got, what was it, first and second or second and third? And it's kind of like, not for me at least necessarily, I'm saying it like, I was automatically like, here we go again, we're definitely going to lose this game. But obviously, I was, you know, shitting bricks, which is a phrase I was hesitant to say off the top of the show. This is a problem right now, obviously. Now, the reason I want to bring this up to talk about is I saw a lot of people discussing the notion that the Yankees should have kept Fernando Cruz in yesterday, which, you know, I could get behind the idea of that, although his pitch count was already in like the mid-20s, and if he's going to get to that full inning, it probably pushes him, you figure, safe bet over 40, and the Yankees don't want to do that. But from the general standpoint of, like, should they consider making Fernando Cruz the closer? And to that I say, no, not really, because in the end, David Bednar's temperament isn't so much an issue. It's not that he can't handle the ninth inning. He's just not pitching effectively right now. He's walking too many batters. Talked about this yesterday, but his whip, we mentioned, was nearing 1.5. It's now like well over 1.5. He's at like a 1.6 whip, which for a closer, for any reliever, that's bad news, obviously. But it's not so much a thing where, oh, David Bednar in the ninth, temperament-wise, can't handle it, like we've seen with some guys in baseball, maybe even Yankee closers. It would just be pushing the issue and every issue we have down one. If you do Cruz for the ninth, not only does that mean, all right, you're not pitching David Bednar, you're pitching him in the eighth, pitching him in the seventh, whatever it may be, and again, it's not so much an effectiveness, it is an effectiveness issue with Bednar, not a temperament issue, so I don't look at the ninth inning as the issue there. But with that said, also, too, Fernando Cruz serves a very big role of bailing us out of jams right now, where, you know, if it's the fifth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning, you need to strike out in a spot where it's bases loaded, first and second, whatever it may be, as we've seen time and time again. Fernando Cruz is one of the few options Yankees have in the bullpen right now that can get strikeouts. We also have Yovani Cruz back up now. We'll talk about that, and just, not back up, but he's up. Yankees called him up yesterday. We'll talk about that too. But for right now, it's a situation where there's nothing that can be done besides external additions. And that means call-ups from AAA, Cruz being up. We've talked about LeGrand. Hey, we'll continue to talk about LeGrand. Hey. But in the meantime, it's just Bednar's going to be the closer, and he has to pitch better. Now, with that in mind, it's not a situation where the Yankees are married to their closer or, you know, are unwilling to make changes. We've seen they are willing to make changes, and that goes in years past. You know, Joel Sherman put out a good article this morning about the Yankees' issues at closer, and something he mentioned, which is very true, and it goes along with the idea of when the Yankees have options, when Boone has options, they will make a change. We've seen that a lot this year, but also in past years. We've seen Clay Holmes lose his closer job. We've seen Aroldis Chapman lose his closer's job. I mean, it's happened many times. Devin Williams, a couple times last year. So the Yankees are willing to make changes. For right now, though, there's not really a clear change to make. It's frustrating. It's scary. Like last night, you know, I was hoping that Cruz would stay in the game. Like, I didn't think it was, I thought he would start the inning and then they might navigate batter by batter just again because that pitch count was so high. But when Bednar came in, I'm like, all right, here you go. Fresh chance to, you know, make us feel a little bit better. In the end, he did get the job done. So credit where it's due. And going back to the whole temperament thing, like, he's got that down. I don't worry about Bednar. Remember how we felt about Bednar last year when he came over? He was nails. So far this year, early on, whether it be the fastball velo, but a lot of it just, you know, lack of command and getting himself into jams early. And then a lot of times he's gotten out of it. Last night it was 11th save and 13 opportunities. If not for Sunday, this really wouldn't even be a conversation for me. I've defended Bednar a lot. Had he blown the save officially last night, I would have a different tune right now. But it's not like there's another option just waiting the balance besides like Fernando Cruz, which I hear you on. But then that doesn't really solve anything. It just kind of pushes each issue back. If you're worried about David Bednar, well, he ain't going anywhere just because if Cruz is pitching the ninth. If he's not blowing the game in the ninth, he'll blow the game in the seventh or whatever it may be. Same with like Camilo Duvall. And Cruz obviously has an issue with walks, which is not ideal for closures. But in fairness to him, he's, like we talked about yesterday with LeGrande, when control's an issue, but you can also get strikeouts, Cruz is better suited to be able to wiggle in and out of jams because of his ability to strike hitters out. Anyways, Bednar's going to remain the closer. He just has to do a better job. And again, in fairness, he did get the job done last night. So for now, that's what it is. But hey, 7-6 win. That was a big one last night. Had they not secured that one, I would have obviously been tweaking. I know you guys too. But they do take care of business. Game one of a four-game set. So yeah, it's Cease versus Warren tonight. Tomorrow on Wednesday is going to be box office. We got Cam Schlittler versus Treya Savage. And then Thursday is, I believe, still TBD for Toronto. We'll be throwing out Carlos Rodon. But this is a big series. And we know how Toronto's been struggling this year, a lot of it due to injuries. But you kind of just knew come yesterday's series that while George Springer hadn't been hitting, he's going to get going. And he did. He had a bomb to left center field. I think he had two hits on the night. At the very least, that one. Vlad had a couple knocks, I believe. And you just kind of felt like no matter where they're at right now in their season, they were going to turn it on when they faced us. And it felt like they were headed that way to doing so. Had the Yankees lost that game, just with everything we got dealing with right now, like the slump and losing the Subway Series last week of baseball, it would have been a very bleak vibes, but also just because of the fact that Toronto owned us last year. And a lot of Yankees talked about it. Cam talked about it yesterday saying, you know, it should light a fire under us. Jazz talked about yesterday being a bigger game than the other ones and how they really wanted to win. And that remains going into tonight and, you know, the entire season. It goes back to something we talked about with one of the, like, sub-factors of why I consider running it back to be an advantage is, like, the phrase I kept going back to was always, like, battle-tested because the Yankees have been through this. They know what it's like to, you know, not to be all gung-ho, rah-rah, blah, but whatever. It's like they went through this last year. They don't want it to happen again. You know, you always have the shots of who was the first one to do it? Was it Stephon Diggs where you're seeing the other team that beat you celebrate on your field and it's like you stare at them? A lot of times that can get corny, but there's a shot of Judge doing it last year too, and it just makes me think the Yankees got to be motivated to not let that happen again, and so far so good. 1-0 against Toronto. It's just one game, but had they not won it, I don't know what tune we'd be talking in today. It'd be angry, but it'd also be like kind of just depressed. Because that would have been devastating. And fortunately, we don't have to deal with that because in the end, Bednar did do the job. And shout out to the other guys, too. Like Bellinger, badass home run, two-run shot. The Jazz homer off the pole. I mean, one of my favorite home runs, no doubt, of this year, but one of my favorite Yankee home runs regular season-wise in a while. I mean, division rival, late. You just tied it up. And that one off the foul pole, opposite field homer by Jazz, too. I mean, that was awesome. And again, credit where it's due with Jazz. You know, he's been hitting over the last few weeks, or last few games. But even if you were to now trace it back to like the beginning of May, his numbers are actually pretty decent over a sample size of a few weeks. But if Jazz is hitting, that's all I care about, yo. Like, I don't care about nothing else. Ultimately, same with Austin Wells. If Austin Wells all of a sudden is back in the lineup tonight, we'll see, and starts hitting, word up, we're chilling. Like, performance trumps all. And in the case of Jazz, he's performing right now. So what am I to say? I love you. Like, that's pretty much it. But anyways, let's get into the next storyline here, which is something that I'm very excited about. And even if you're not, you know, a Volpe fan per se, which I'm not going to act like I'm like the leader of the pack by any means, I'll criticize him. I will criticize, like any other player. If you're good, I won't criticize you. If you're bad, I will. But not in a way where it's like hatred filled. Like, I think a lot of people really do. This is where I will, I guess, be a Volpe defender. People step out of line, I feel like, sometimes with like the way they talk about him. Remember, it's not his fault that the Yankees opted to not sign Corey Seager. I mean, I guess it is because, you know, he's the reason why they didn't, but that's the Yankees' decision. If they missed on him as a prospect, that's their fault, not Volpe. So I look at a thing where it's like, all right, Volpe's been a disappointment. Volpe's got to be better if he's going to be playing. So far, he has been. But in the end, like, I don't look at it like, F Volpe, I hate you. Like, all that stuff kind of drives me crazy. You guys know, you know, how I feel about all that sort of thing. But in the end, we know going into this year, like, how could you be a Yankee fan and outside of blind optimism or faith for the most part, how could you have expectations for Volpe to, you know, be a winning player, really. And the main thing we talked about was defense at first, and that's still really going to be prevalent in this conversation. Volpe has to be a good defensive shortstop, and he has been. Outside of that first error in his game in Baltimore, you know, Subway Series, he looked good. Yesterday, there was no issues. So defensively, that's first and foremost. He's got to be a rock there. Offensively, though, man, last night, let's take a listen, actually. Rewatch that slide from last night as well as his double into left center field. He had two hits in the night. He goes 2 for 4, runs scored, and that run scored was very impressive and probably the reason why we're talking about this right now.
Into left center field, on the run is Schneider. He dives, and he holds on and makes the play.
After review, the ball did hit the ground. The call is overturned. The runner is placed at second.
There goes Volpe. Big jump. Stolen base, second of the game. Right field, coming on Straw. He makes the catch, tagging Volpe. Here's the throw. Here's the play at the plate. Safe. He got in. A good slide. And he got in ahead of the tag by Valenzuela.
Dude, when that happened, I'm sure you guys were all pretty similar, too. You're waiting for the review to come in and just confirm how excited you could be. But, like, my jaw dropped when he slid like that. Because he looked like he was going to be gunned out by a mile, and he should have been. But he maneuvers around the slide and... Also, on the day, obviously, had two hits, had the double that, you know, we knew once we saw the replay would be overturned. Also, in the first, I don't have the video of it. I should have got it. My apologies. But for those who are watching, he had a first inning, first pitch swinging opposite field base hit where the shift was completely open. The right side was completely open. And he just shoots a base hit to right field. And then, yeah, later has a double, scores that run. Again, the defense has looked good. And... I'm not going to lie to you, like, this does get me excited. And I think I have the title of the video or the thumbnail of the video that says, I know it's only, well, I said it's only one game, which is kind of what we're reacting to with Volpe. But still, small sample size, it's four games. The results are one thing. Five games, he's hitting .308 with an OBP of .550. We know he's been walking a lot. And maybe I'm just talking about this right now to celebrate it while we can, because the stats aren't always going to look this good. They're probably going to send it, you know. He has a 1.012 OPS right now. I get it. It's only five games. But going off of what we saw last night, between that slide, between the stolen... He had two stolen bases last night, too. He stole third. We saw him steal second early in the game as well. He looks good. Anthony Volpe looks good. And the swing is interesting because the only reason I'd even be hesitant talking about it as excited as I want to is because the numbers in AAA with this same swing weren't great. But there's a difference. I mean, for all we know, being back up in the big leagues and, you know, it looks like he's playing with a little bit of fire under his belt and, you know, having like the adrenaline of being back up and, you know, kind of like do or die for him a little bit with his Yankee career maybe is putting an extra little spark in him. I don't know, but with the swing, it looks more level. He looks more patient at the plate. It's not always going to stay this way. He might go 0-for-4 tonight. I am well aware of that. But for right now, we're a daily show. We talk about the stories every single day. For right now, Volpe looks really good. So that's one thing. I'm celebrating that. I'm excited about it. I like Volpe. I always say this. It's like I criticize him, not the way, you know, some other people do, which I think is very much out of line. But I can see even when he has a first inning single or the first at-bat single, I wanted to post it to Yank Zab. I'm like freaking out. I'm like, we may have something here. The Claude Dog's right next to me. And she's like, what? And I'm just like, this is good. This is good. And then you had the double. You have the stolen base, the slide. Once that slide happened, I was like, all right, yo, this is now... It's like a new joke that I keep making everybody. Like whenever something minor happens with the Yankees, it could be like, I don't know, something stupid. A first inning single. I'm like, this is tomorrow's lead story on the Morning Yankees show. I wanted to talk about Volpe right away based off that. That's neither here nor there, though. I'm excited to see him do well. The actual question now is, what could this mean? We know Caballero is eligible to be activated come Friday from the IL. And the plan was always for him to stay at shortstop. Now, here's where I really won't get ahead of myself. I think a big difference with this team and last year's and just in general past seasons is Caballero at shortstop. So I'm not going to move off of that. With that said, there's what we want to do and there's what the Yankees will do. I am now curious, given that McMahon has fallen back off offensively, which is unfortunate. I like McMahon, but now it's, you know, he was bad, then picked it up, now he's bad again. So we might just be back to ground zero with him. Third base. You guys were pushing back a little bit yesterday, which I understand. About we mentioned Volpe playing other positions, like more so second, but I also mentioned third as well. And you're like, he doesn't have the arm strength for that. Fair. That's fair. Although I actually find myself almost less concerned about his arm at third base rather than short, because a lot of his issues have been from deep in the hole at short. If he's getting the ball that quickly at third base, and depending where he's positioned, I think he'd be fine throwing-wise. But I hear you guys on that. That makes sense. Could Caballero play third? Yes, he could. If Volpe looks defensively sound, no issues by the time Friday hits, we'll talk about it more then. But let's just say he's still not putting up a 1.0 OPS, but put it like this, just helping us win games, looking like a winning ball player while being defensively sound at shortstop. For right now, I am open to the idea of letting him play shortstop and then playing Caballero at third. Now, if it were a thing where we were comfortable playing Volpe at third and you keep Caballero at short, all right, word up. And you can interchange them, whatever it may be. I know we're not there yet, but I'm just speculating right now. Caballero starts one day at short. Volpe starts a day at short. But with McMahon's struggles, with you know the offensive bottom part of the order being what it's been, as we know, for the most part of this season, I want both of those two as of this very moment. Key word, key phrase, as of this very moment, as we sit here right now, 1.0 OPS Volpe, 2026 Volpe, 3.0 Volpe, whatever it is, 4.0, year four. I want him in the lineup, and I want Caballero in the lineup. How do you do that? Well, if we don't want to have Volpe playing third base, which I get, you could have Caballero play third base. And it's not like second base right now is something that, for this given moment, we're going to be looking at, especially with McMahon struggling and Jazz now hitting. Jazz is playing second base. You have shortstop, and you have third base, and you have Volpe, and you have Caballero. I want both of them in the lineup as of this moment right now. And how does that happen? Probably more so likely that it's Volpe at short, Caballero at third. So we'll see it day by day. We'll probably talk about this again tomorrow. We'll talk about it more leading into Friday. But Volpe's put himself within with these five games, particularly last night, he's put himself on the map for me. He's earned this conversation as far as I'm concerned. It's been five games, and I think even you know the biggest Volpe haters out there may still be saying like, oh, just wait. But for right now, you got to admit, in these five games, and just last night, forget what you think is going to happen, just what we've seen, you got to like the way Anthony Volpe's looking so far this year. And with that in mind, I want to see him in the lineup. I want to see him remain in the lineup and come Caballero's return, assuming it is going to be on Friday. We know he's pretty set on returning come the eligibility of his IL stint being over, which would be Friday against Tampa Bay. That might be the way to go. As far as I'm concerned, right now in this given moment, that's absolutely the way to go. So between that conversation, the question to ask, just Volpe being a factor, Caballero at third base, possibly keeping Volpe at short, or just celebrating, you know, helping us win a game last night. That was awesome. And that slide was incredible. Looked like a ball player. I mean, that was one of those things where, say it was year one of Volpe, which obviously it's not, it's year four, but like when you see a rookie come up, say he got called up the other day, like that was just, we're blind for a minute, and that's his call up, this is his first week. That's the kind of play you see a rookie make or like a young kid make, and it's like, oh, he can be a spark. He's playing with his head on fire. He's you know, the old Yankees don't do this. Like, that's how we would be talking about it. Obviously, we know Volpe. We know he's, you know, not exactly as dynamic more often than not as he's looked the last four or five games, and particularly last night. But at the very least, it's exciting, and it helped us win a game. So, Volpe, shout out to you. I couldn't find any post-game interviews from him last night. I wanted to because, you know, he probably had to be in pretty good spirits. But, dude, all of a sudden, I find myself going back to haven't said this in a couple years, but you see him get a couple hits, and it's like, yeah, he's a local kid, man. It's like that old, I posted a video from TikTok I saw. I forget the guy's name. I apologize, but I doubt he's watching right now. But it was like from a couple years ago, like when Volpe was first called up, and it was like anybody from Jersey talking about Volpe, and it's like, oh, he's a good kid. You know, he's a local kid. Like my buddy played ball with him in Little League. You know, he's a good kid and all that shit. Like that, I was kind of back at that vibe yesterday where it's like, yeah, like, I love Volpe. Like, I want you to do well, bro. And like anytime, again, little first at bat single to right field, I'm like screaming the way I do when Judge goes deep. I'm like, I'm rooting for him, and we'll see what ends up coming to be coming out of it. But at the very least, it's exciting, and it does open up a conversation about what happens come Friday. Caballero is going to be in the lineup every single day. We need him to be in the lineup. That's something to do with that, but it's a matter of, do you want to keep both Caballero and Volpe in the lineup come Friday? And as of right now, as of this moment, I do. Anyways, so Volpe, 2-for-4 yesterday, hitting 308 on the season now in five games. Big part of the Yankees winning 7-6 yesterday. Now, the Rays also won. Go figure. They destroyed the Orioles. I didn't even see the final score, but when I checked, it was like 8-1 in like the fifth inning. But so we remain three games back of Tampa Bay, and we have three more games against Toronto. That goes through Thursday, all night games. Friday begins arguably an even bigger series. I guess no doubt about it, a bigger series, although maybe long-term, not so much. I still worry about the Blue Jays, to be honest, more than I do the Rays long-term. But Friday, the Rays come to town. Three-game set in the Bronx. What a big week this is. Anyways, so we'll see where we're at by then, games back-wise. But nonetheless, huge series, obviously. And with that, So, of course, yesterday you had Elmer Rodriguez sent down, which was a curious decision because it's like, okay, well, Cole has one more rehab start, and if you send Elmer down, you can't call him back up, barring an injury. You can't call him back up for another 15 games. So, like, who's starting Friday for the Yankees? And by the way, Yovani Cruz brought up, which we've been calling for. He's been struggling a little bit lately in AAA, and he has some command issues. But for those who don't know, Yovani Cruz, fastball that touches 100 miles an hour. The slider, from what I hear, is really good. And, you know, he was racking up strikeouts in AAA, ERA of 3 and 18 innings pitched down there. 23 strikeouts and 18 and a third innings pitched. Yankees call up Yovani Cruz. I like that. But, yeah, the corresponding move because of that was Elmer down. So it's like, who's starting on Friday? Well, it's not off the table that Gerrit Cole could be making his season debut in the series opener against Tampa Bay. Here's Aaron Boone on that, just going through his thought process. Not confirmed by any means, but he says it's on the table.
Whatever we do, like, it's with the long game in mind. So, you know, a knee doesn't necessarily mean we're bringing him back. It's like if we feel like he's absolutely ready to go and checked all the boxes, then we'll make that call.
So it's on the table, but not.
I'd say it's on the table, yeah.
All right, on the table. So, yeah, it is on the table. Gerrit Cole Friday could be pitching in the Bronx for his season debut. And just now that this is a tangible thought process to be able to, like, think about, I think it absolutely will happen. He was at 86 pitches his last start. And, you know, Boone kept saying that the Yankees weren't going to accelerate Gerrit Cole's rehab because the injury to Max Fried. Well, this wouldn't be accelerating that. The way this would kind of work out is, Art, his most recent outing in AAA on Saturday, where he looked really good. Fastball hit 100, by the way. He was good on Saturday. He got up to 86 pitches. So not that they always do the gradual incremental increase of, like, the way they used to, of like 10 pitches each time. But just going off that logic, even if he's only at 85 pitches right now, why waste bullets in the minor leagues if he's already in a spot where he can throw, he can give you 85 pitches? If not, now he's built up to 95. We'll see. They'll be very conservative no matter what in his first start, especially if it's on Friday. But if I had to guess right now, it's not official. I think Gerrit Cole will be making his season debut come Friday against Tampa Bay. And how box office and badass is that? Big series, biggest series of the year, one might say. And game one is going to be the return of Gerrit Cole, first time we see him pitch since the 2024 World Series. I think it's going to happen. I hope it happens. And it'd be a pretty long time coming, obviously. And we'll preview it more once we officially know. We may not officially know until maybe today we find out, or maybe it's not till Wednesday. But, you know, we'll preview it in full depth. But just know that is on the table right now. And I would guess it's going to happen where we see Gerrit Cole make his debut on Friday. And obviously, that's a big get to have back. Got to emphasize, always going to emphasize, especially with Gerrit Cole coming off of TJ, any pitcher coming off TJ, you got to be patient with him. With that said, he has looked really good in AAA, man. Again, the fastball hit 100 miles an hour. He's been striking guys out. If you haven't seen him, he does look a little bit chubby. He's got the dad bod going, but that's all good. Maybe I'm biased, but, like, I grew up on CC, so that concerns me not even in the slightest. Assuming, you know, he's not actually out of shape. Just because, you know, a pitcher has a belly doesn't mean he's out of shape. As long as his legs are strong and everything. And Gerrit Cole is not, you know, a loser. He knows what he's doing. So not too much worried about the figure on Gerrit Cole. Don't be alarmed when you see that if you haven't already. But he's looked good. And again, the fastball has gotten up to like 99, 100. The command continues to improve. And not that you care too much about minor league rehab numbers, but, like, the numbers are looking pretty good down there. He's been striking out hitters, putting together good complete outings. And again, if the pitch count's already up to what was 86 on Saturday, and you need a starter on Friday, all right, well, you might as well use those 86 pitches or whatever it is going to be. Like, use that in the big leagues. And that seems what the Yankees might be headed towards. And I'd have to think they would be with everything we just laid out and how kind of obvious it is. But also, like, what's the alternative per se? I mean, you could start, like, Ryan Yarbrough if they wanted to. I guess you could do something like that. But it can't be Elmer. And it's not like they're going to call up, like, LeGrande for one start. So if I had a guess, we'll wait till the end of the news is official, of course. But if I had a guess, Gerrit Cole, season debut, will be Friday against Tampa Bay in the Bronx, which is very exciting, obviously. So word up, yeah, word up. I tell you, man, thank goodness we won last night, because I'm having a good morning because of it, Chad. I'm having a good morning. Things are so much better when the Yankees win. And I know you guys share the exact same thought, of course. But, man, just the way that game would have, had they lost that game or blown it, whatever it may have been, even if they ended up winning, like, in extras, which at home they're decent, and they're actually pretty good. I think they're really good in extra innings and home games, contrary to how they're terrible on the road. Even if they ended up winning that game, but it came via, like, Bednar blown save, and I know he was rocky, but it's not to be discounted the fact that Bednar did bear down. He had a 3-0 count with the go-ahead run or the tying run on what second base it was, 3-0 count, less than two outs on George Springer, and he gets him to strike out from down 3-0 with three straight strikes, including like the split at the end to get him, and then you get Vlad, ball game over. Can't discount that Bednar did ultimately bear down and get the job done. I trust Bednar, and temperament's a big part of this show. Like, when people say, like, Bednar's not a closer, I think he's not a closer right now because his stuff hasn't been great, and, like, he just hasn't pitched well. You know what I'm saying? It's, like, almost a similar thing where it's, you know, not to the level of, like, when Max Fried has a clunker, but I kind of look at it that way, like, on a day where Max Fried gives up six earned runs, it's not like, I know this is kind of a bad comparison, but it's not like Max Fried isn't a starter, he just didn't pitch well today. Like, I look at it, like, I don't think of Bednar as not a closer, he's just not pitching well. Now, that creates a conversation of, like, if you're not pitching well, that is reason to take him out of the job, of course. But again, there's no real alternate solution there. But my point is more so, and I know, again, Fernando Cruz, you're just pushing issues back. If he's pitching the ninth and you're worried about Bednar, which is a performance and effectiveness issue, well, that is going to be an issue then in the seventh inning. And we also wouldn't have Cruz to bail us out of jams with strikeouts. And, you know, Cruz's walk issue in the ninth wouldn't be great either. Yankees just need relievers. That remains a case. It'll continue to be the case until we get more and bring up LeGrande and, you know, guys go to the bullpen. And then particularly the trade deadline, we bring in, some reinforcements externally. This is just what we got to deal with. And it's going to have to be solved by guys just pitching better. Bednar's got to pitch better. He knows that. Same with Camilo Duvall and whoever, you name it. But temperament isn't an issue with Bednar. And that proved to be the case last night. The fact that he was able to bear down and get out of that, that did show a lot of fight. So I respect that. And in the end, like, we should. We got the win, and that's all that matters. With that said, it's just one win, and it's a four-game series. Tonight's going to be tough. Tonight will be tough. We got Dylan Cease against Will Warren. Warren did bounce back last time out against Baltimore. He was coming off that bad start against Texas. Again, that we still won, but a rare clunker for him this year. And that inflated his ERA, but he bounced back last week against Baltimore. He'll go for the Yankees tonight. And for the Blue Jays, it'll be their big money man, Dylan Cease. I forget how much money did he get, Dylan Cease. What was his contract? 8 years something? Something overpaid. But he's been great. So at least for as far as year one goes, it's been worth it. 7 years, $210 million the Blue Jays gave Cease this past offseason. So he'll start for Toronto tonight. He's been really good. We'll see what the Yankees do against him. And I would expect Grisham to be back at leadoff. We'll see. But ideally, Goldschmidt's going to be in there as well. Even though, you know, Jones looked good the other day too. Not that Goldschmidt has been great against righties, but he hasn't been bad. He's been above league average. He's been terrific against lefties, as he always is. But against righties, he's still been a solid professional at bat. And then some. I think his OPS is like near 750 against righties and over one dot against lefties. I prefer to see him in there. Obviously, Jones did look good his last game, so maybe we'll see him. Or maybe somebody gets a day off and actually, no, probably not. I was going to say Grisham, but Grisham didn't get. Did Grisham play yesterday? Anyways, I would expect Grisham to be in there leading off today. But nonetheless, just one game, but a good game, and it would have been an awful game had we lost, but we didn't. So that was awesome. Apologies again for not being live last time. We will be live tonight. I am feeling much better. Would have been the first time I'm like, I mean, I've had little bugaboos in season, I guess, but I usually never get sick during the baseball season. Yesterday, I think ultimately what happened is I ate pizza last night or the prior night, and I ate it from the wrong box. I ate it from the pizza box that was like 2 weeks old, not the one from a couple days before. So, like, upset my stomach. But I feel fine now. I think I'm all taken care of. But anyways, we'll be live tonight. Morning Yankee Show, we're 5 days a week, so we'll be live tomorrow, I believe, at, I'll let you guys know, it's either going to be 8 or 9. We're going to be interchanging the start times, at least for the foreseeable future. But, yeah, that's all I got for this episode. Great win last night. Let's do it again tonight. Will Warren versus Dylan Cease, first pitch, 7:05 on YES. We'll be live right around 7 or maybe a little earlier at like 6:50, 6:55. Everybody have a great rest of your day. It's going to be hot. It already is hot. Turn the AC units on. Stay cool. Drink your water. I'm going to be drinking my water. I got mine right here. Poland Spring. But there's a bug in my water. Anyways, that's all I got, yo. Everybody have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you tonight for Yankees-Blue Jays Game 2 in the Bronx. Till then, let's go Yanks.